You know, I, in a strange way, take a little bit of heart to that gospel because it shows that even Jesus could have a bad day in the pulpit, huh? But of course, his reason for having a bad day in the pulpit wasn't on him, it was on them, amen? So, but I can't have that guarantee for me, but I can just say that even Jesus could have a bad day in the pulpit. I want to say, kind of frame the discussion, a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, spoke a little bit about what it means to be baptized into the threefold office of Christ, of priest, prophet, and king. And we focused especially a couple weeks ago on being a priest in the New Testament. Now, I don't speak here of the ministerial priesthood, but rather the common priesthood of all the baptized, right? And so we talked about that. Today, we focus on the office of prophet. Now, the word prophet simply refers in the New Testament or the Old Testament to those who speak for God. Those who speak for God. God calls them through some special moment, and they receive a call, and they are called to speak God's truth to the world. And again, the essence of a prophet, brothers and sisters, is to love God's people. To love God and to love God's people. And to love God's people enough to speak the truth in love. So today, let's look at what it means for us, all of us in this church, who we're all baptized prophets. You know, I already know that you're a prophet because you were baptized. Amen? And if you're not baptized, maybe you're soon to be baptized, but I want you to know that if you're baptized, you are summoned to the office of prophet. So let's look a little bit at kind of a rule, if you will, a rule of life for prophets. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that a prophet is called. Look at the call that is declared. It says here in this first reading to Jeremiah, God is speaking to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a young man at the time. And Jeremiah is a little anxious that God is calling him. And he simply says, God says to Jeremiah, before I ever formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I dedicated you, and a prophet to the nations I appointed you. And as for you, gird your loins and stand up and tell them all that I command you. So Jeremiah receives a call. Well, guess what? You're Jeremiah. Now listen, there are four basic things that this short text tells us about the call of a prophet. First of all, if I can use a kind of a jazzy theological term, the call is prevenient. Now, prevenient refers to something that comes before or precedes, something that's expectant or anticipatory. Listen, church, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God knew all about you. God knew you, He loved you, He thought about you, He prepared for you. Are you praying with me, church? You know, in the terrible situation in this land of ours where we ponder the difficult situation of abortion, sometimes the question is asked, when does life begin? Does life begin at conception? In a way, do you see that your life and my life began in the heart and the mind of God long before we were ever conceived? He says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I loved you. Thought about you. You were in my mind and in my heart long before I ever called you into being. You see, no one who is conceived, even in the most difficult and painful situations such as rape, no one is a mistake to God. No one is an accident. No one is disposable. No one. Every human life conceived is known and loved by God before they're ever conceived in their mother's womb. Now you see, this call of the prophet speaks then, first of all, of our dignity. And it also speaks of this fact. If you think you've got any excuses to make to God about why you can't be a prophet, God says, I knew that before I ever made you. I knew every limitation. I knew your gifts. I knew your struggles. I knew everything you'd ever say, everything you'd ever do. I knew all about it before I ever made you. Psalm 139 says that, Lord, all my days were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. Oh, whatever excuse you have, God's already got an answer. He's already got a plan. Amen? You and I have been known and loved by God from all eternity. Before the foundation of this world, God knew us and loved us and thought about us and prepared a place for us and has called us to a ministry of prophecy. So first of all, note that the call of the prophet, that means you, that means me, the call of the prophet is prevenient. It's always been there before you were ever made. It's not like God looked down and said, well, I guess you'll do. It's a lot deeper than that, amen? Now again, so the prevenient nature of our call. I want you to next notice the purview, the purview of our call. Notice it says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. To the nations. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really travel abroad much, and I don't get on many planes, and I don't speak a lot of foreign languages. I guess he's not talking about me there. And you know, I'm going to just tell you, Jeremiah probably never left Israel. Probably didn't speak anything but Hebrew. But Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations. You see, you just never know where a word that comes out of your mouth is going to go after it leaves. Now, I'm talking about a holy word. A holy word. But you see, you just never know what God will do with that word. Now, Jeremiah never left Israel. Jeremiah never spoke English. In fact, English wasn't even around when Jeremiah lived. But you notice here, 2,500 years after this text is written, we're still talking about Jeremiah. In a foreign country, a place that Jeremiah knew nothing about, Jeremiah's word came forth from his mouth in Hebrew to a small group of people in Israel, and it has come down through the nations to this very day. Church, you just never know what God will do with a holy word that comes out of your mouth. Are you praying with me? You may say a word that you say, well, nobody knows who I am. I have a very limited number of friends. But you may speak a word to someone who speaks it to someone else, and all of a sudden, it's gone all the way around the planet. Church, you just never know. So again, you and I are a prophet, called from before our mother's womb, known and loved by God, called and called not just to speak only to our friends, but to speak unto the nations. You may speak a word to a child or a grandchild of yours who will become a world leader and tell others what they heard from you. So again, just know this. You speak and God will bear the fruit in all the ways that he sees fit. Now notice, not just, if you will, the prevenient nature of our call and the purview of our call, but next notice the preparation of our call. The text says, gird your loins. Stand up. Tell them what I tell you to say. Now, gird your loins. That's one of those biblical expressions, isn't it? It almost sounds a little naughty. What did he just say up there? Gird your loins? Listen, it's the ancient equivalent of roll up your sleeves. That's what it means in the ancient language. Roll up your sleeves. They used to wear these long garments. And some of you ladies who wear maybe long dresses that go right up, you know, right to your ankles, you know that sometimes when you have to go up and down stairs or pick up something, you know, that gets in the way. So what they do when they were going to be working, they'd hike up the garment and pull the belt tight and free up their legs. So you see, it's the ancient equivalent of roll up your sleeves, get ready for work. Are you praying with me? Well, what does it mean for us who are prophets to roll up our sleeves? It means just what you're doing now. You got to come and let God teach you, let the Lord instruct you. It means you got to pray. It means you got to be prepared. You got to open yourself to God's grace. It means that you study and try your best to understand the Word of God. And I pray, God, that as you come here Sunday after Sunday, you and I, we all get a clearer understanding of what the Lord requires. Amen. And I hope you're doing some of your own study. And I hope that you pray every day and pray out of God's word. Church, prophets study prophets. Prophets study the word of God. God doesn't want any old word coming out of your mouth or just your opinion. God wants his word to come out of your mouth. And the only way it can come in or come out, if it first, it has to first go in. Amen? And so Roll up your sleeves, the Lord says. He's saying to Jeremiah, study my word. Study the prophets. Listen to what I'm saying. Pray and let me speak to your heart and study my word so that every word that comes out of your mouth is more and more my word. And so it is. God gives us a new mind and a new heart by his word. And that's what it means to roll up our sleeves and to prepare for our ministry day in and day out. I pray I'm a better preacher today than I was when I got started 25 years ago. I do pray it. I know this. I've been studying God's word intensively now for the last 28 years of my life since I entered the seminary. I've been studying, praying, and every year I get new insights and new understandings of God's word. And I just can't wait to get in this pulpit and rock the pulpit and tell you all about it. So you see, there's a prevenient nature, a kind of a pre-existing nature of our call. There's a purview of our call, goes to the nations. There's a preparation for our call, and there's a prescription for our call. The Lord simply says this, tell them all that I command you, all that I command you. Now look, church, we've all got some favorite Bible verses. We've got some teachings that appeal to us. But there's also some stuff in the Bible that kind of steps on our toes. It makes us a little uncomfortable sometimes. And if it doesn't make us uncomfortable, it makes other folks uncomfortable. And the Lord says, don't just talk about the comfortable stuff. Talk about all of it. All of my word. Now, today, if I were to go into the world, out onto the street corners, there'd be some things I would say from the Bible that are not controversial at all. You know, we ought to feed the poor. We ought to take care of one another. We ought to do unto others as they would have them do unto us. And people say, amen, that sounds good, preacher. And then I start opening my mouth and start talking about chastity and not sleeping with your girlfriend and getting married. Well, all of a sudden, we're into controversy, see? And a lot of folks start shutting down, but the Lord says, don't just talk about the popular stuff. Talk about all of it, all of it. And so the job of a prophet is not always easy. The job of a prophet is to speak the truth. As Paul wrote to Timothy, you got to proclaim the gospel, whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's popular or unpopular. You just got to say it, and you got to say it all. So you see the vision, fellow prophets. You know, you'll go to your kids and they're going to sometimes protest when you talk to them. A grandson, a granddaughter, maybe you need to call them away from something they're doing. And they can say, oh, Ma, oh, Grandma, oh, Grandpa, you know. Preach anyway. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. Preach it all. Don't just preach the pleasant stuff. Preach it all. Even the tough stuff. Even the stuff that you're struggling with yourself. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. Preach it all. And so again, we see our prescription. So, we've seen so far in this reading the call of the prophet, a call which pre-exists our own existence, a call which has a purview to the nations, to everyone, a call that needs to be prepared for and constantly provided for, a call that has a prescription that we should preach all that God has said. Now, church, the next thing that this text teaches us is that not just the call to the prophet, but the courage that is demanded of a prophet, the courage. Listen to what the Lord said to Jeremiah. He says, do not be crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, its priests, and all its people. Oh, my church, my, we need courage. You know, the Lord remarked to Jeremiah elsewhere. He said, I'm sending it to a stubborn people. Now, I know he wasn't talking about us, was he? Listen, church, collectively, this thing we call the human family, that's all of us, collectively, we are a stubborn, stiff-necked people. We have foreheads of brass and necks of iron. Are you praying with me? Now, you say, talk about yourself, preacher. All right, I will. I'm just going to say we all have that to one degree or another, but let's just put it this way. We're certainly all members of a family that is stubborn, stiff-necked, doesn't want to change, and doesn't like to be told what to do. Are you praying with me? So guess what? Iron sharpens iron. The Lord says, all right, since I'm sending you to a people who have foreheads of brass and necks of iron, Jeremiah, I'm going to make you a fortified city, a pillar of iron and a wall of brass. You're going to go up against them. You're going to preach this word, and it's going to take courage because they're a hard case. You don't think you're a hard case? Look what it took to save you. I got to repair that light up there, by the way. We're going to get that fixed, but you can see the cross up there. Amen? If you don't think you're a hard case, take a look at what it took. Are you praying with me? Now, when I say you, I'm talking about me too. Amen? All right. We're a hard case, and the Lord needs to send some tough words to us sometimes. And it takes courage to hear the word of God, and it takes courage to proclaim the word of God. Now, listen, I want to just say regarding this that when we go forth, notice there are several groups singled out here, the kings and the princes and the priests and all the people. So at times, we're called to speak the truth to those in authority. Now, be careful here because, you know, I'm afraid today that I'm a little alarmed at some of our political discourse. I'm alarmed that because, you see, when a prophet goes to speak to someone in authority, that doesn't mean the prophet is to surrender all respect and just call names and ridicule. I'm afraid there's too much of that in our culture today, where folks call out certain political leaders or the clergy or other leaders in the community, and they speak of them with contempt. They speak of them with hatred. They caricature and ridicule. Church, that is no way for a prophet to speak. Are you praying? You heard Paul today. You got to love. If you're not going to, you can have the boldness of any prophet, but if you don't love, you are nothing but a gong or a cymbal creating noise. It doesn't help anyone to change. We should speak of our leaders with respect. We should honor those in authority with the respect that is due them. And where necessary, we need to speak to them honestly about what we're concerned about. We who are citizens of this country, it is part of the genius of this country that we can speak to our leaders. And we can vote them in and out. But in the end, we are never permitted as Christians to lack respect for those to whom we must prophesy. The same would hold true for clergy. There's a lot of what I would call bishop bashing that goes on in the Catholic Church. I find it alarming, and it needs to stop. On the other hand, sometimes our bishops have not handled all things well. Pastors, this one here, has not handled everything well. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for the respect you do show me. And I am very, very grateful that when you do correct me, I've never felt ridiculed or laughed at or in any way disrespected by you. But again, that's the call, isn't it? Now, likewise, if we owe that to those in authority, we also owe it to each other. If I, as a prophet, have to stand in this pulpit and proclaim a word, Lord, please never let me stand in this pulpit until I deeply love my people. If I have to say hard things, I pray you know how much I love you. I pray you know how much I'm in this struggle with you. And likewise, when we're in sometimes tense moments with each other where we have to proclaim a hard word, never forget. Not only does it take courage, but it takes lots of love to pull off some of the prophetic utterances carefully. Are you praying with me? Beg God for love and beg God for courage. And so again, don't be crushed. Don't be afraid, Jeremiah. Put your name in that sentence. Don't be afraid on their account. I'm with you. My love is in you. My zeal for the truth is in you. My passion to set things right is in you. Now go to them and speak with clarity and speak it with charity. Speak and bring forth the light, but bring it forth with love. Proclaim the truth, but do it with tenderness. But speak it. Speak it. Don't be afraid. So we've seen the call of the prophet, and we've seen the courage that is demanded of the prophet, and finally, the conclusion that is already determined. The text simply goes on to say this: they will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now listen, I want you to know that if you are speaking God's truth, that truth goes in and out of season. In our culture, in this world, it comes in and out of season. You will often find people will fight against you, call you names, seek to ridicule you. But in the end, understand, you already have the victory in Christ Jesus. The light wins. He always wins. You are announcing a word of truth that cannot go away. You are speaking a word of truth, and the truth will out. The light will always prevail against the darkness. Now we go, if you will, as Christians, we've been around now for some 2,000 years, the church, and we've had ups and downs in this world. But here we are. People have announced our doom many a time, but the church has buried every one of her undertakers. Let me speak to you personally for a moment about my experience. Some of you know that I have a blog that the diocese actually asked me to kind of keep up, to kind of engage the world and the culture. And that's become a real big pulpit for me. In fact, I get about 8 to 12,000 hits a day on the blog these days. So a lot of folks are checking in on the blog. And see, when you put yourself out there, church, I'm just going to tell you something. When you put yourself out there, you're going to catch a few arrows. Are you praying with me? And I get a lot of comments that come through the comm box and some emails that are hurled. I even get some hate voicemails. But a lot of them talk like this. Not all of them, but a lot of them talk like this. The most vitriolic ones. Oh, you little priest. You're a member of a criminal class called the priesthood, and you're telling a bunch of lies. Your little sky god who doesn't exist. Your little church is going away. Our day has come. The world has grown up now, and we've outgrown your little faith and your little book and all your little rules, and we don't need you anymore, and you're just going away. Well, all right now. Well, guess what? The church has buried every one of her undertakers. Every philosophy and person who has ever announced the doom of God's word has always, they've gone away and the word of God remains. They have gone away and the church has remained. The church has an indefectibility because the Lord promised that the gates of hell would never be able to prevail against the church because Jesus Christ is the head of the body of the church. And he will outlast every empire, every philosophy. Where is Caesar today? Caesar said he was going to destroy the church. Caesar's gone and the church is still here. Napoleon said he would bury the church. And we buried Napoleon with all the funeral rites thrown in. Philosophies have risen and fallen. All kinds of new ways of thinking, newfangled this and all this. They've come and they've gone. Church, the light wins. He always wins. Church, the victory has already been won. You see, and that's what we've got to remember to help us to have courage. Keep preaching. The word will go in and out of season. Things will become popular and unpopular. Philosophies will rise and fall. Newfangled ideas and folks thinking that they're going to somehow outdo God. It's just not going to happen. Just proclaim the truth. Now, I know I'm sounding a little triumphalistic up here, but I'm trying to summon us to courage. It gets back to courage. People will often laugh and ridicule and poke fun at the church, raise all kinds of we've committed plenty of sins in the church. I got news for you. You know, don't be too quick to defend the church. You know, we're so big and so old that most of what you've heard is probably true. It's not all fair, because a lot of people who want to point to the sins of the church want to overlook the magnificent beauty of sanctity that the church also shows forth. But in the end, church, all of these things will try to attack, but in the end, the truth will out. Jesus Christ has already won the victory. Keep preaching the light. Stay with the light. Stay with his word. People will laugh. They'll raise questions. They'll ridicule. But just keep preaching. Even in your own household, they'll say, well, what about this and what about that? Keep preaching with love, with courage, with conviction, clarity, with charity. Keep preaching. Don't give up. Keep preaching. The Word will win. The Word has already won. The Word is Jesus, and He has cast off death like a garment. He's risen from the dead. He's at the Father's right hand right now, and He will be the victor in the end over every philosophy and every bit of confusion that this world can dish out. Are you praying with me? We should lead living, victorious lives, confidently announcing the truth of God. It's hard work. It's hard work, but the victory is already won. I want to leave you with a kind of a picture or an image. And it comes from the gospel. Jesus is in his own hometown. He's preaching. And they turned on him almost in an instant because he said something that at that time was not politically correct. He talked about how the gospel, the Lord, was going to go and unto the nations and bring in the Gentiles. Church, I want you to know that the impact of that was like someone going into a white church in the deep south in the height of Jim Crow and speaking about the sin of racism. It went over like a lead balloon, and you saw the reaction. They turned on Jesus. How dare you say that the Gentiles, those stinking Gentiles, could be called? They turned on him. So angry were they tried to throw him off a cliff. But here comes the image, church. They turned on Jesus, and he just turned and walked right on through them. The light wins. He always wins. Today, you're called to be a prophet. And I want you to know something. The truth that you and I announce has already won. And all the errors and all the sin and all the yes buts and all of the ridicule that can be heaped against the Lord, it's already been done, and he's already cast off death like a garment. He's already won. So, be prophets filled with zeal for God, love for God, love for your neighbors. Prophets love God's people. Go and proclaim it with love and with the serene confidence that even though they say no today, that word may be planted and the light will win in their life. But keep preaching. Don't give up. You'll be ridiculed, scorned, ignored, rejected, but just keep preaching. Jesus has already won the victory. Be a witness for the Lord. Amen.